Hello and welcome to another edition of Tech Wrap, the podcast. We're online at the Tech Wrap Australia website, which is techwrap.net. You can email us at any stage. Our email address is mail@techwrap.net. Plus, we're on the social media channels. Give us a like on Facebook, search for Tech Wrap Australia, or follow Tech Wrap Podcast on Twitter. Hello again, Will.
Hello, welcome back for another week. Good to be back as always. Been busy one this week. What have you been up to?
Work and stuff. I guess I've been getting in the getting all the plans, getting the grand schemes underway for one of my first ever work voyages.
Oh, that's always exciting. An old company trip away.
Getting out of the place. It's something really, really, really different.
Yeah, it's always nice to take a little vacation, even though it is work. If you get flown somewhere or you're driving somewhere and put up for a few days, it's always nice. Even though you are working, it still kind of doesn't feel like work, does it?
Yeah, I guess it doesn't.
It's sort of.
Sort of, but sort of not.
I've been watching a lot of YouTube. I don't know if you've seen the new YouTube redesign in the past few days or the past week. Yeah, I didn't quite know. They've been going kind of through this transition period where they'd change little bits here and there, but definitely it was like a few days ago, or maybe, you know, 3 or 4 days ago, that I noticed kind of the big change come across when the whole top of the YouTube was all black now, and then there was a dark theme, and the video gets resized to constantly full screen no matter how big your browser is, which is really cool. I also saw, I think that was the main things, it was the new logo as well. Did you see
that's the thing I most primarily saw when I jumped online, and the new layout, the fact that everything's sort of taken the modern, smooth, clean look, a bar down the side, a bar up the top, and then all the videos are fairly closely placed together as well.
I don't know, do you like it? Is this better than before, or is it just different?
It's improved. I think it's definitely looking a lot cleaner than it was, although, of course, it's still going to have those little bugbears about the way they try and shove, you know, autoplay advertising, YouTube videos and whatnot around the site design, but you're never going to get away from them.
And the dark theme, have you tried the dark theme where you go like the top right of your login and you can click dark theme, turn it on, and the whole thing goes black instead of white, the white background for that nighttime viewing, a bit easier on the eyes?
I haven't tried it.
You'll have to try it out. Next time you're on YouTube, go to the dark theme. I think you can do it on the app as well currently. I'm not too sure.
Oh, I see it. Dark theme. Activate
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh,
check
hello.
It out. Look at that. And the whole thing goes black. It's kind of weird, isn't it? Because you're so used to the traditional white of YouTube. Is this easier on the eyes? I guess. I'm going to try it out tonight after this. I'm going to be messing around YouTube. I'm going to be just in the dark theme. And I'll let you know if I sleep any better tonight.
I don't think you will sleep any better, to be honest, if you're looking at a screen all the time.
Yeah, I need to get that blue light filter or something. Flux.
Oh, yes, Flux.
That turns your screen to a more friendly colour.
You know, I used to have
so
that
can sleep better at night
on my system in the workplace, but unfortunately all the restrictions and policies that come in place with my employer means I can't operate that software anymore.
Oh, really? They've tightened down things even more that you can't even install your own custom applications. Do you need approval from an admin or something to install it?
Yes, yeah, it is like that.
Surely that wouldn't be too hard for you. You'd know a guy that could hook you up.
Well, sometimes you can actually just ring the IT department and go, you reckon you can install an application for me? And they go, have you got the installer? Yep. All right, let's go.
Well, you think for like a program like Flux, where it's better on the eyes and reduces eye strain and stuff, surely there's a case for OH&S to get that done easily enough. You should look into that. I want Flux back on your work computer.
Maybe,
9 a.m. Monday.
Maybe I just don't think about that when I'm at work.
I'll send you a text tomorrow to remind you.
There you go. That's the plan.
Hey, what's been going on this week?
Well, there's all sorts of bits and pieces that have been going on. One thing that could certainly concern some of us if we're pulling, high bandwidth connections, heavy downloads from the overseas connections, is the fact that there's been a damage to undersea cables due to extreme weather events like typhoons that have happened between Hong Kong and Sydney. IT News reported during the week that it should cause some issues for people for a few weeks. Internet service providers such as IONET and Internode advised their customers about the damage. Apparently, it's about 54 k's off the coast of Hong Kong. Most ISPs have temporarily routed traffic via the US and also, redirected some of their peering functions as well while they get the issue fixed. But of course, it's not going to be an easy fix given the cable is laying in the middle of the ocean. And that requires submarine teams to firstly go out to the site, do dives and work out what extent the damage is, and then work on a plan of repairing it. And it's not just a physical, plastic cable laying underneath the ocean. It's a little bit more high tech and heavy duty than that, and will take some time for repairs. So at least a month, they're saying. That's if you do notice any slowdown. I suppose, like I say, those people that are doing high volume downloads are probably going to see it the most, more so than an average consumer. Although I reckon, maybe it could affect some of the Facebook traffic too.
Yeah, possibly. Any sort of international traffic going via those cables is going to be affected. And I know people, my brother's a big gamer, so anyone playing on any US servers or connecting to those overseas will suffer a lot of huge ping and latency and packet loss. I actually was trying to play a game with him earlier, and it was super laggy. And I was wondering if it was my internet here at the house. And I saw this article, and now it all makes sense. Like, I couldn't do anything, and it was pretty much unplayable. And then I pinged google.com, and I got about 50% packet loss. It's incredible. Like, how connected are we? And actually, the reverse of that, how isolated do we feel to the rest of the world when just some internet cables get damaged? Imagine if they were cut off. Like, all the if it wasn't on Australian servers, which is probably the majority of content, think of, like, Facebook, like Google, anything overseas, would be screwed.
I certainly think that we would be quite screwed, I guess, if we didn't have those alternate paths. I mean, it's going to cause a little bit of trouble for us for the meantime, but, they'll get it sorted. And of course, currently there is no other avenue in which you can pursue which will adequately provide you with a fast and efficient service other than, going through pipes under the sea. It works wonderfully, normally.
Yeah, I don't know. I love how you're like, it's a lot more, it's no easy task to go in and repair. It's a lot more than just, say, a sort of a wire. In my head, it's just like a cup and string undersea cable to the US.
Well, the concept is there. It is a section of wire or string which goes underneath the sea, which links us between the countries. But it's certainly not easy once you actually break it and you need to go and fix it, being that
it's
far
crazy
underneath.
When you actually think about it, like physically, it's literally a cable connected to other countries underwater. Mm. Do we have an estimated time of completion of the repairs where everything will be back to normal to our slow, crappy Australian internet?
They're saying tentatively at the moment, and of course that's if weather doesn't get in the way, by the 13th of October 2017.
Jeez, that's rough. That's a long time.
It could be rough. It could potentially be rough.
Over a month and a half.
It is a month, but I mean,
like probably 2 months. That's a long time to have patchy internet connecting overseas. Like in this day and age of, this tech age we live in, to have crappy internet to any international overseas servers from Australia for over a month and a half. It's insane, isn't it, to think of? Like, sure, there's got to be a better way to do it than cables under the sea.
Well, there isn't.
Why are we sending stuff up to satellites and things like this?
You do understand the concept of satellite internet, don't you?
Why don't we send...
When we send a message up to...
Carrier pigeons.
When we send a message up to the sky and then receive a command back via that connection in the sky, there is a delay in doing it, and there is no such... immediate long-term delay in running through an optic cable under the sea.
Do you reckon there would ever be What, like, what else is there?
Hail the light like, pipe, I say.
We bow before our light pipe gods. Last week was the big launch event of the Unpacked Samsung event. There's been another event going on over the weekend and will continue to go on for the next couple of days, and that is IFA 2017. And I know you've had a quick look at some things coming out of it. Has anything sort of caught your eye?
Well, I have noticed, as usual, it's been another one of those conventions where, you know, they look at a lot of mobile phones. LG has brought out the conversations of their LG V30 mobile phone. This is, you know, a brand new model for the scheme. A quad HD OLED display, some interesting camera features in it as well. That's a standout in terms of the mobile phones, because, I mean, other than that, you had brands such as Alcatel showing something. Nobody cares about Motorola. They had another crack. I mean,
they had a brief thing with the flip thing, didn't they? Or the physical, whatever they were doing? Was it a flip one? A smart flip phone?
Oh, yeah, they had a crack at something like that. And if
I don't know.
You know, released another Moto X4.
One cares.
It looks ugly, personally. I reckon.
I don't know how you keep up with the beautiful designs and like the seamless bezels and the infinity displays and like the nice metal bodies, and it's just like glorious phones. And then, yeah, I don't know how you, yeah, who's going to buy that?
And software features and whatnot. There's also been smartwatches. We've had refreshes to Samsung's range. They've added a sport variant of their smartwatch. Garmin has added another device to their range, and Fitbit has come in with something which I reckon is overpriced for what they have provided in the way of fitness technology at this point in time. But, you know, it's not only these sort of gadgets. We also go into the home. Loewe have released one of the smallest bezel TV screens, and I mean, like, excluding all of the inbuilt grunt that you usually have behind the panel, they've actually managed to pull it out of the TV and make it something that you can put away in a cupboard, and you can essentially have that really nice, thin, sharp, fine-looking TV screen without all that extra clutter, I guess, that you have, you know, with including all the componentry into the actual TV set, which is something different. And it's an
angle. I'm sure it'll be super affordable too.
I bet, especially being a premium brand like Loewe actually is. There was also, you know, bits and pieces in the Homemaker Forte. We had the manufacturer of white goods appliances coming in on the scheme as well, Miele, and they've actually made an intelligent oven. And I don't know of too many ovens that have gone in this angle so far. We've heard of the basically fridges, which can detect the contents and do reorders and whatnot. But
yeah,
Miele's got an intelligent oven, which reckons they can detect what sort of food has been placed inside.
No.
And adapt the cooking process to match using a database of recipes.
You just put some chicken in there and then it will, you just close the door and it starts cooking your chicken. Please tell me there's a webcam in there as well, or a camera in there, and you can pair it with your phone and you can see your food being cooked from your smartphone while you're watching Game of Thrones.
Well, you'd think being an intelligent oven, you'd have an app for that as well, so you could keep track on your meal.
That'd be cool, though, to automatically turn off as well if your food's overcooked or being burnt or something.
Well, you would think these sort of features would come with it. I mean,
people are just getting lazier and lazier, huh?
And some people, you know, with what they've got going on in their lives and stuff have forgotten how it is to cook, even. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people aren't cooking much these days, are they? They're either going out and buying all their food, or they're buying their pre-cooked meals and just putting them in the microwave.
Mm.
Maybe a smart oven is what they need to cook some better, bigger, healthier meals. That's fascinating. I'm going to look more into that, but geez, it's a bit... all of these products, I think, are... not too many people are going to get their hands on them.
Look,
at the end of the day,
no. And here's another one which, you know, won't get all that many people buying it, or if they do buy it, they'll buy it for the sake of a fad. Air Selfie. It's a drone complete with a HD camera which fits in the palm of your hand and works with your mobile phone to take, you know, close proximity photos of yourself.
Why don't you just use your phone?
Apparently it's not good enough sometimes, like those people
you
with those
send
poles.
Send a drone up in the air to take a photo of you and then it flies back down in your hand or something?
Yeah.
You can just put it in your top pocket. So like whenever you go out, you can just pull out your drone, fly it up in the air, take a selfie, fold it back up and put it in your pocket.
Then we've also got one for your pet as well. Attaches to the canine, basically to the collar. It apparently offers training tips, has a GPS chip on board and can keep track of your animal movements. They reckon they've sold 2,500 of these devices as well. They're a smart device for dogs, but they look a little bit big around the neck of said toy dog in photo that I can see. It's all fad. It's all fad.
I love those faddy. I mean, there are some meaty, hearty gadget releases that people actually, maybe like the LG smartphone, things like that, but a lot of them are maybe the future. I know there's been something Sharp 8K TVs or something next year they're looking at releasing, which is ridiculous, and all these other fatty type items. I think it's meant more what about show of technology and potential and stuff, which is really cool because you can write articles and we can talk about it and things, but yeah, how many actual everyday usable mass consumer products? I mean, a lot of the smartwatches, sure. I think a lot of people buy the Fitbit. You touched on that being expensive. I think that's going to be around $450 is for a Fitbit smartwatch, which is ridiculous. The Samsung Gear Sport, the Gear Fit 2 Pro, the Samsung Gear S. I mean, how many different variants of a smartwatch / fitness tracker? Then you got the new Garmin releases and stuff. We're just bombarded. Oh, it's too much. It's all too much. And are people still interested in that sort of stuff?
I'd be hoping as well that with the smartwatches, the manufacturers who are in the game at the moment have learnt from the mistakes of their previous models as well, because over time, I think we've purchased about 3 or 4 different brands between us and not found love in all of them due to the quality standards of manufacturer haven't been so great.
What have we had? We've had Garmin, we've had some Fitbits, and you've got an Apple Watch. I'd be curious to try a Samsung smartwatch, and then we can really expand out. But which one would I get? Would I get the Gear Fit 2 Pro? Would I get the Gear S? Would I get the Gear Sport?
You see, I seem to think from my experience of owning an Apple Watch so far, and I've had it for a couple of years now, it is actually still in good nick and still performing brilliantly. Despite the fact that I don't use it all that much for anything other than checking the time and getting messages and so forth. But like it's something that's been a lot more durable than the last 3 or 4 gadgets that I've worn around my arm. And, you know, it does all that tracking stuff and it looks nice too.
Yeah, I really like the look of the Moto 360 and the Huawei one, that really beautiful looking one. But I like the idea of it, and that's another idea. Like the Samsung ones tend to be more towards a lot of tracking, fitnessy type stuff. Even if you do get their normal smart watch, where the Moto 360 is the Android Wear, and you really pair it with your device similarly, like you do with the Apple Watch and the iPhone. So I could get a cheap Moto 360 or the second version one, but the Gear Fit 2 Pros look so sleek and nice, and then I think they have offline Spotify support and GPS in them, so if you do a lot of running and walking or riding, you won't need your phone on you.
And that's where you want it, you know, if you're doing that sort of thing.
I don't know how you choose. I don't know. It's all too much, and now I give up, and like I'm not going to get one now.
You give up too easy, I think.
There's too many. And then you could go back and look at the Garmin one. Yeah, I don't know. I'd spend ages.
Here, I'll leave you with one more gadget which you can use in the home. Hey, this is awesome. Bosch, they make a few home appliances, including washing machines and dishwashers and whatnot. They have made a little gadget which you can pair with, the smart home, the smart washing systems and dryers and whatnot. The Bosch Stain Scanner Expect, it's called. You can basically, it's like a wand, smaller than a mobile phone. You'd say probably partway between a mobile phone and a USB thumb drive or a USB modem, like the one that I've got in my hand at the moment, which you can't actually see, but your commercially available USB modems that you can, you know, go on the internet for $30 with, around that sort of vein, something you can hold in your hand. You can basically take that over the stain on your clothes and it will be able to detect what sort of stain is on it and adapt the wash pattern of the washing machine to suit cleaning that particular item of clothing.
That's fascinating. When can we get one of these?
And how much is it going to be worth as well?
Yeah, and how are you going to do that for every, like, what if you had a heap of clothes that were just all various stains?
Well, that's where I guess it'd start to come undone, you would think, wouldn't you?
Yeah, maybe it's like really bad stains that you don't know how to get rid of, like, I don't know, red wine.
Ah, red wine. Do you want to be doing that? You don't even want that on the carpet, to be serious.
Just don't. What have you ever come across a stain on some of your clothes and you're just like, I have no idea how to deal with this?
I wouldn't say I've no idea how to deal with this. Sometimes I'll say, how did that get there? I will say on some occasions. Usually I just, you know, I get the old what do they call it, pre-wash fabric stain remover stuff. And give whatever stain I have on my clothes a blast, leave it for a couple of hours and then chuck it in the washing machine and hope for the best. On some occasions, the stains don't come out. I've found, and we're getting really manly with this conversation, aren't we? Antiperspirants in the spray varieties can sometimes leave like an orange tinge on white shirts. And I just don't wear those shirts ever again, and I'm not using that sort of antiperspirant anymore. Anyway.
Techcrap.net for all your laundry and clothes cleaning tips.
Let's not ever do that again.
There's been quite a few hacking stories going on in the news lately, various companies and institutions being hacked. You saw one this week, and then I saw a couple of others, and it just seems like everyone's getting hacked these days. What's going on? Is that because that guy came out and said he regrets doing those long passwords and every 30 days or whatever change them, and now everyone's just gone to 1234 is their password, and now everyone's getting hacked?
Well, no, one of the ones that I noted seeing, and it did come out in the government channels, there is a service which you can subscribe to for the latest security updates called staysmartonline.gov.au, and they put out the notice that 12.5 million Australian email accounts had actually been leaked online. There is an organisation or a group of people who are attempting to sell this database online at the moment. It's not a new piece of data. They've been able to get email addresses and passwords, and one of the websites that they managed to compromise was LinkedIn. But get this, they compromised it back in 2012. So someone has been sitting on that cleverly crafted data for a few years now and has now decided to see whether they can make some money out of it. So it has been a little while since that hack. And you would hope that most people have looked at changing their password since then.
You'd hope so, but a lot of people tend to be, I don't know, either they don't hear about the news or they got an email, they ignore it or they change it. You need the force change. It's like your password has been temporarily changed to this. Next time you log in or next time you log into your account, you'll be forced to change it or some email like that. Not where you can't rely on everyday people to log into their account and change the password. You have to force a password change on them.
There is a website you can go to if you're keen to know whether your email address or potentially a username has been exploited. And no, you aren't going to get exploited from this website either. It's an information channel. Have I been pooned? Now, I'll just spell that out so I don't sound stupid.
Oh, yeah, P is not poon. It's poon. Like,
Have I, the letter I, BEENPWNED.com.
Yeah, the old school leet speak.
Leet speak.
As they call it. Or the hacker speak, leet speak, the good old days where E's are threes and A's are fours. good old days.
I never quite S's got that.
S's can be dollar signs, you know.
On Instagram. Like
leet, right? It'd be L33T. Or the, no, or 1337.
Yeah, leet kitties.
Yeah. Oh. And so that's not the only thing. Like the one that I saw, we saw Time Warner Cable, lots of information and personal details also leaked over in the States. And then Instagram as well just recently apparently has been hacked. Personal details of the hackers claim to have millions of Instagram accounts that they have access to, and including personal details of a lot of verified Instagram accounts. And as you were saying before with the previous one, people trying to make the searches or make a bit of money off the details, they've been floating some of these searches around online and even the dark web, where you can pay $10 per search and then you can search for someone and it'll bring up, if it's available, all their personal details, including addresses and even phone numbers. Some notable, apparently, these have been floating around, you know, can't confirm or deny, because I think this is people, you know, they saw the name pop up somewhere on the dark web or something, but, you know, actors including Emma Watson, your favorite Zac Efron, Leonardo DiCaprio, Channing Tatum, you know, Harry Styles, Beyonce, Lady Gaga, Taylor Swift, Katy Perry, Adele, Snoop Dogg, Britney Spears. So, like, all these celebrity verified accounts apparently have access to their email address and phone numbers through these hacks, and they're trying to make a bit of coin off it, as well as apparently millions of other verified accounts and non-verified accounts on Instagram. It's crazy. Everyone's getting hacked. What's going on?
It's a bit ridiculous. It's a bit of a concern. Certainly, if you're feeling a bit concerned yourself, the best place, or should I say, the best way to get around this is to change your password straight away. Look at some complexities, but not as complex as those that idiot American guy that we talked about a couple of episodes ago.
Yeah, it's insane. I mean, I don't think I've ever... Have you ever had any sort of data breach or suspected data breach of any of your online accounts?
No, I've had precautionary measures where they've told me to change my password because they have had a breach, but nothing ridiculous has gone on. The most ridiculous thing that ever goes on with any of my online accounts is I leave them open on another computer and someone manages to just open it up and have a look and see. And then, oh, he's on Facebook. Let's write a silly Facebook status update. Everyone gets that one.
Yeah, that doesn't really count as a air quote hack.
I'm glad
you don't
really
see much of that these days, do they? They used to call it fraping. And you don't really, it's kind of a fad that's kind of died down now. I think people have like grown out of it. Have we grown up?
We might have grown up just a little bit. I think the only other thing that's happened to me is, you know, I've had credit card details compromised. But I reckon every Australian goes through that if they've got a debit card or a credit card at least once in their life.
I once had a login attempt from China onto my Google account.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Google are quite good at that, and they detect that you don't normally log in from China. What's going on here? Please verify this is you. And I got that pop-up that somebody tried to access it. And I even though they were unsuccessful, they tried to get in. And just to be safe, I changed my password anyway to something a little bit more complex. And I use a password manager. I use KeePass to generate long, complex passwords, and also stores all my passwords. And then I can just have that running on my desktop and just easily, you know, get them across. It's not for everyone. But yeah, I would recommend it. It's a great open source.
That's something I've just never felt comfortable with, storing my passwords.
Well, it's local. It's open source. It's monitored. You know, the code's all been verified by lots of people. And if any changes are made to it, you can see it. Your password database is stored locally. It's encrypted by your password. And yeah, I think it's, in my opinion, as safe as it can get. Sometimes you have those password managers that are stored in the cloud or on servers or online. They're a little bit more iffy because your passwords aren't stored on your computer. But yeah, I don't know. But saving your passwords in your web browser as well, do you do that?
No.
Firefox or Chrome? No. Wow.
No, definitely not. I don't want that to happen because, you know, there could be situations where someone has decided that they're going to open that up. And, you know, open your browser, go to a website, and if it's going to auto-log in.
You can set a password. I don't know about Chrome. I assume with Chrome, but I know with Firefox, you can set a dialog box to pop up where you enter in your master password before any of your saved passwords get access. So if you go to google.com and you don't have your master password set, when you go to the login box, the box will pop up and say, please enter your master password, and then you enter that, and then you'll have access to all your saved passwords. So that, and then you close the browser, and then it closes that. So if anyone did come on when you weren't there, they won't know your master password. They don't have your saved logins, so it's a little bit safer that way.
I'm still skeptical, although I do say that, and I may occasionally.
How do you remember all your passwords?
Well, I don't remember them all.
Are they all the same?
No.
You just don't need to make new accounts every time.
I reset password details sometimes.
Yep. So you just go to your email and stuff like that.
Yep, reset via email.
It works, I guess. Maybe I'll get you over to KeePass. I'll send you a link so you can check it out. I'll send it to you after you have a look. You like to pay with things, sometimes not with your either credit card or bank card. Can you pay for things with your Apple Watch?
Yeah, I haven't done it for a while.
Oh, really? The novelty is worn off with paying?
No, not the novelty is worn off. I'm just not with a bank who has that system in place.
Oh, what happened? Because you used to be. You just changed banks or something? Or
Because the bank that I was with that was providing that service was charging me a monthly fee for my account, and I didn't wish to have
the privilege.
That.
Yeah. It's in this day and age, that's ridiculous.
It's completely absurd.
Well, the point I was kind of getting at is various payment methods for things other than, say, your traditional cash or Visa debit card or credit card or even a smartwatch. There's been a store in China. It's a branch of KFC known as K-Pro. It's essentially a Chinese version of KFC.
Knockoff KFC. You can walk,
I don't know if KFC owns it and they just call it K-Pro because it's in China. But nonetheless, you can go in there and you can pay for your KFC with your face. So forget cards, forget cash, forget smartwatches. You can rock up and they have a terminal. Like you place your order on the terminal and then it scans your face. If your face matches the photo ID they have in their system, then you enter your phone number and then that's it. The payment will go through, I think it's Alipay or the Chinese version of that, Alibaba Alipay thing, which is essentially our sort of PayPal, which everyone uses.
Well, you're essentially using a payment gateway regardless of...
But with your face, you don't need your phone, you don't need your cash, it scans your face, it verifies that that's you, you enter your phone number, and then you're done. What do you think about this?
What do I think? Well, it's interesting. It's another one of these fad gadgets and, fad technologies. I mean, how could it be effectively quick and easy to operate when you've got, potentially situations for failure if you don't, come into the camera range properly and you don't have the right lighting, et cetera, et cetera. They're all potentials.
All the terminals would be perfectly set up to scan your face with good lighting and things this. Apparently,
think about the situations where current things are not perfect, like the whole concept of being able to scan barcodes on your mobile phone. Many businesses tout this as a great way to do membership cards. And then, I rock into a fast
time it doesn't work.
Yeah, I rock into a fast food outlet the other day and they go, oh, you know, we need to authenticate you for that purchase. Scan your QR code or your barcode. And I tried several times, and I picked up their reader as well that they have at the front, which they point towards the customer, and waved it around and couldn't get anything. So they just decided to end up authenticating me via my mobile phone number.
Yes, you need it anyway. And this software that they use apparently analyzes, this is what they say, more than 600 facial features to make a match. Who has even that many facial features? And I have like four. Two eyes, a nose, and a chin, and that's the extent of my facial features, let alone 600.
Beardy face? Anyway,
beardy face, clean shave. Wait, what if you have beard or clean shaven? and it uses a 3D camera and a liveness algorithm.
A liveness algorithm. What is a liveness algorithm
fool it with. It's trying to, so people can't try and fool it with photos or a video of someone else. So it's like, are you a real person or is this a photo of a person? but I wonder if you could get like somebody, like a video, like you put your camera recording at the front of this machine, seeing someone else scan their face, and then you record their liveness to the scan, and then you get like a big monitor or something or a tablet, and then you put that up to the camera, and if you know your mate's phone number, bam, just charge all this KFC to his account.
Surely you'd have the problem that the screen would be shiny on the camera's detection and wouldn't pick it up very well.
I'm sure there'd be a way to charge a heap of KFC to someone else. Do you remember when they had the facial recognition phone unlock software that first came out and that was being fooled by just an image of someone?
Yeah, I remember initial stages.
We test this, actually?
Of course.
Was that we test this?
No, I don't remember testing it. But, of course, this is starting to come out with the new model Samsung Galaxy phone as well.
The iris scanning that they're pushing.
Yeah, along the similar sort of concept.
I wonder if that scans the iris. That would be better, wouldn't it, than trying to get 600 facial features to print you're alive? Like, get iris scanning in all these machines. That would be the better way to do it, wouldn't it? But then you got the whole thing of, like, you know, all the IDs and the databases and in like they say they can't do this in China because China has such a huge collection of everyone's photo and
they know everyone, don't they?
Yeah, exactly right. So it makes it a lot easier to do this facial recognition stuff. And I don't know if it would work as well in anywhere else, right? Because unless unless you're over 18, you don't even need a driver's license or a photo ID, kids. But even when kids aren't coming in to order KFC. One of the comments was that I pretty found funny here. One of the product managers said, "We hope one day in the future people can go out without their cell phones or wallets." And I thought that was hilarious because no one is ever, especially now, leaving their house without their cell phone. Like, that is not a thing.
No, I don't ever want to leave my house without having my mobile phone in my pocket.
I don't even ever want to leave my house, full stop. The world is a place. But yeah, the phone is like everything. So why do you need to pay with your face? Work on payment methods with your phone where you just put your tap.
Well, that'd be a little bit more reliable. Like the current tap-to-pay kind of services are working ideal most of the time, except, of course, when the reader doesn't work.
I still can't get on board with the whole pay with your phone because I always have my wallet on me anyway. And why am I putting my card details into, say, Google Pay or Samsung Pay or whatever, when I have my wallet and my phone on me at all times?
But it's the convenience of the fact that most of us have got the bloody things out of our pocket in our hands when we're walking around the shops, regardless of whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. And so you've already got it out there, then you just go and tap it on the reader and it's done.
You just get your wallet out of your... See, this is what I mean, like smart kitchens, smart fridges, everyone getting lazy. Society, we're not going to be able to do anything.
Maybe we are spotting the lazy generations.
We're like we're like a couple of degrees away from being just strapped into VR headsets and never leaving our room. Like just online shopping, get ordered to your house, Uber Eats, all these Uber delivery services get brought to you, work from home, filling out surveys all day or building websites or... You don't even need to go into the office. You log into your VR office. Like, you could do your job from home through a VR headset and you meet all your colleagues in the VR space.
Well, you can already log in to the office. You know,
you can do all your work almost remotely. Now, imagine if you had a virtual presence in like an office space in the building, and you could do all your work from home pretty much, couldn't you?
Sit on
if
a
everyone
web,
else is there.
Sit on a webcam every day.
I don't know if you've ever been in like the I can't remember what the game was called, but in an Oculus Rift and a Vive, it's like a whole play center, and you rock up into like a room. It's like a rec room, and you can play table tennis with other people. You can play drawings. You just hang out with all these other people. So you could create that in a work environment. What are those online things that we use, like, you know, like Slack, right? Oh, imagine Slack for teams.
Yeah, yep.
But then you do that, just everyone has VR headsets and you collaborate with your team all around the world and you all just like hang out in this room and you can go play ping pong together, and this is coming. I don't know how we got to this point, but I'm kind of glad we're here.
I don't want to be strapped into a VR headset day in, day out. That would not be
embrace
fun.
Embrace the future.
No.
Embrace it. All right, speaking of which, we've been talking about HTC Vives and Oculus Rift being on special, and I mentioned that we made a Rift purchase. I got update today.
You got a progress update.
Hopefully Wednesday, so maybe 3 or 4 days. So that'll be a bit of fun. And have you said you've never used a Rift before?
I have used a Rift, but I
have
not for long.
Yeah, you have to come around and we'll get you a VR into the VR mindset, so then you'll be with me and never need to leave the house.
Yeah, work still gets in the way. I do like to actually go and interview people, if you know what I mean.
Hey, yeah, oh, we'll table that discussion for a later date. You know, I think that's kind of like the main stories that have come across our desk this week, and I'm sure we'll have some more IA developments in the next few days. Maybe we'll touch on next week, but sometimes there are those shorter stories that come across and we see, and the news is essentially just in the headline, and it's a little segment we call Quick Headlines, and we have an intro and a theme song, and it goes something like this. These are the technology headlines of the week. These are the quick headlines of the week. Geddes, give me some quick headlines. Ah, smooth. Hey, we touched upon Bitcoin coming around $4,000 for one Bitcoin about a few weeks ago, a few podcasts ago, as I measure my time in now.
Cool.
Now it's now surpassed $5,000, which we thought 4,000 was unheard of. It's now 5,000.
Starting to get a little bit ridiculous, isn't it?
Quick headlines. Yeah. We should have invested when there was like $800. Anyway, let's not dwell on that.
I would have invested if I had money back then. Then I would have had money. I would have money now. Benefit of hindsight. Doesn't help me now, does it?
Nope.
Hey, speculation, of course, coming up to the iPhones. There are a few...
getting close.
There are a few online reporters saying they believe they know what's coming up. We're talking about LCD displays with new display technology. Physical home button support. We're talking about wireless charging in these brand new devices, and also some enhanced waterproofing, given they've dabbled in the technology in the last few variants of the phones. People suggest it'll be 7S, but they're waiting to see what it will be, given it is an anniversary period for the phones. But we won't hear the full juicy details until late next week when they hold their press conference. Will.
Wow. Hey, you remember that ridiculous juicer called Juicero? That was like $700 that needed to be connected to Wi-Fi, and it could only squeeze juice by the juice that they made. And then somebody made a video of them hand squeezing the juice, doing the exact same job this $700 Wi-Fi connected juicing machine.
I certainly do remember this fad gadget, a gadget that most people wouldn't be silly enough to purchase, but some people did.
People with too much money, or people that just got it for free. Well, surprise, surprise, they're shutting down.
They can't squeeze
anymore. They're not going to make it.
They got squeezed.
They're not going to. squeezed out. Yeah, so apparently they're shutting down. They're offering refunds to people that want them, that bought them, I think within a time period. But yeah, it was kind of a weird thing that people thought, why do we need this? And apparently we don't, and they're shutting down.
Who honestly thought that was going to last?
They raised a lot of money. They raised a lot of money somehow from like investors. But yeah, it was, I don't know, maybe they got caught up in their own hype bubble or something.
Isn't it ridiculous? It is absurd. You know, Google TV. Have you heard about this service?
Google TV. Ooh, is that nothing to do with YouTube, is it? It's something completely different?
Basically, it's an online streaming platform of some TV providers over in the US, and they've expanded their service in the US. Obviously, it's going all right. They've got 41 markets on board. It's essentially like YouTube, but you can access your normal, you know, free-to-air TV and subscription-based channels as well. I wouldn't mind it if they start coming over to Australia and giving Foxtel a little bit of competition, given there's no, I guess, cost benefit to accessing Foxtel's repertoire, regardless of what sort of platform you're on at the moment.
Hey, did you know Tinder is now the top grossing iOS app?
Grossing? How?
Yeah, apparently now they released the thing where you can see, I think it's called Tinder Gold, where you can see people that like you. Where previously, with just the normal Tinder subscription, you could get unlimited swipes or something and then super likes and stuff, but you could never see who liked you. You just had to keep swiping until you got someone that liked you as well. But now, for an extra $5 a month, you can see ahead of time who's liked you, so you can skip everyone else and just match with those people that you already liked with. So it costs like $15 a month now, which is crazy. But having done so, it's now the top grossing iOS app, and it's coming to Android in the next month or so. It's pretty funny.
You know what? There would be some poor suckers who believe that is a good thing for them to do as well.
Well, you know, hey, I don't know, who are we to judge? A recent Match.com study, just on top of that, claims iPhone owners are more likely to negatively judge Android users on a first date. Yeah, but here's the thing, like, most iPhone owners are pretty oblivious with other phones, I've found. They don't really care if you don't have an iPhone, or they don't even know what another phone looks like, because all they know in their world is iPhones. Where I've noticed it's the Android users, the more observant technologists.
But you know why that is. There's a lot of people who don't understand technology who are comfortable with Apple phones, and so that's why they don't understand the other phones. But on the other hand, not all of the Apple users are people who don't know their technology. Some people just feel, I guess, like the Apple phones are a finer-tuned system. But, of course, we could do all these sort of studies on both brands and find similar sort of flaws, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just fun to have a bit of rivalry. And don't worry, I don't judge you negatively on that.
You always judge me negatively. Hey, SanDisk.
Never, ever.
SanDisk has set another record in technology, in terms of memory storage on micro SD cards. I thought it was ridiculous just a few years that we were getting something like 200 gig on these cards.
Yep.
But they've managed to push it even further.
Yeah.
400 gig on these cards. It'd be a little bit of money to get one of these, but you are more than capable of using one of these cards for, say, 40 hours of HD quality video, or even, you know, transferring 1,200 photos to the device within a minute, say, which is really fast.
That's insane.
Impossible by most standards that are currently there.
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up, because that is just mind-blowing. I wonder what the top read-write speeds would be like if you can capture 4K video really nicely on them. But yeah, you are right, expensive. I think I saw it was like maybe $250 US, which is about over $300 Australian for. But for 400 gig, you could shoot a full day of video or pictures.
You could.
And never have to worry about it. It's insane to even think of on something that's as small as like your pinky finger, essentially.
Yeah.
400 gig. It's like, it's mind-blowing.
You know, all of these sort of things are mind-blowing because, I mean, in recent weeks we've had Intel as well, you know, come up with a new chip, and they were at a point a few years ago where they said, we don't know if we can get them any smaller. And they have.
No, yeah. At what point will it get to that where they can't get it any smaller? Anyway, hey, I've been driving quite a lot around Melbourne with a vehicle, and it's annoying to find a park.
I bet it would be.
At some places.
I don't like driving in Melbourne.
No, it's the worst. Back in January, Google rolled out a parking difficulty icon in Google Maps. Now, of course, this is US only currently, but it explains how hard it will be to find a spot for your vehicle. It was only available in 25 US cities. Now it's expanding out further, but still only available in US. But I think this is a really cool feature because the other week I wanted to go to the NGV and look at an exhibition. Mm. And I had the car, and I'm just like, I have no idea where to park. And that'd be so handy if you could map out spots to park the vehicle that wasn't just those, you know, those underground parking bays, yeah, where they charge you $21,
ooh,
you know, flat rate just to park your car for a few hours. So that would be, hopefully that'll come, you know, it'll eventually roll out, whether how good it will be or not. But yeah, the idea of being in a location and see how hard it is to park and maybe offer some suggestions of some maybe cheap parking or things in the area would be super handy.
Definitely, definitely. Hey, you know, one place you can't get more than an hour for $21? The Sydney Opera House.
Oh, that's ridiculous, isn't it?
You
don't even bother.
Yeah, for I think it was something like at one stage about $13 for half an hour, which is a nice bit of coin. But then I suppose some people, when they have spent most of their life in a city, would expect that sort of figure anyway. I just don't like parking there.
Coming from the country where we don't pay for parking anywhere
at all,
anywhere we want. There's no parking meters, nothing. And then you come to say Melbourne, and literally everywhere you park, it costs you money. It's crazy.
Definitely, definitely.
The people living in the city, yeah, they don't know any better. And I suppose in Sydney, the Opera House, and you're there, and they tend to have a lot of money, and they're like, oh, I'm right here next to the Opera House. It might be worth $50 or something.
For sure.
Do you use Instagram? Do you use Instagram?
I do use Instagram.
Well, do you ever post more than one photo? You know, the portrait or the album things where you can click one photo and it'll scroll through several photos.
Hey, I saw this feature, but I have not actually used it personally as yet.
Yeah. Well, Instagram now lets you post landscape and portrait photo albums. You can only choose one and you have to stick with it through that album. But, yeah, that's just a little thing because Instagram used to just be about the portrait. Now you can take landscape photo albums. I don't use Instagram.
You don't use it at all?
I don't even have it installed.
Are you signed up to it at all?
maybe.
Maybe I should have a look.
That's the quick headlines of the week. I think we need like a sound effect at the end of that somehow. Something.
You fail.
We'll come up with it. But yeah, no, I don't even have. What am I going to do on Instagram?
Put photos on it?
Of what? Who wants to see my photos?
Well, like, I take all sorts of things. I take, you know, a pretty scenery outside, like a nice day. I've got photos of my desk. Food.
How many followers do you have?
I have 256 followers.
What? Then seeing your photos of food and grass and all things that they could experience themselves if they just left the house and had a bit of fun.
10 likes on my last scenery photo.
Really? How long did this take you to get that many followers?
Oh, a couple of years.
Years?
I put a delicious burger on there the other day as well. I made it myself.
Why don't you... So Instagram is just for taking pictures of food and grass?
I don't take pictures.
I don't think I have anything that people would be interested in seeing.
Rightio. Well, continue.
Maybe I'll make an account actually, and then I can follow you, and you can have 207.
continue to be your boring self. Have a look at everyone else from another perspective, and
it's depressing because then all you see is other people having like amazing food and it looks amazing and going on travel adventures, and it just makes you feel depressed. I don't see it as a good thing. Unless I just post photos and never look at anyone else's, right? Maybe that's like...
Isn't it sad? We talk via an internet connection and you're locked up in your little room and you're thinking like this.
I just see pictures. All right, I'm going to do it. I'm going to make it. What are you going to do? That's my weekly thing, is going to be make an Instagram account. What are you going to do this week?
I'm going to work out how to take the show on the road. I've been sitting in my usual spot every week for the last, 3 or 4 weeks, easily. And I haven't found a way of me getting out of the place and still being able to record the show. I'm up on the Gold Coast next week.
Oh, just find a studio.
I'd like to find a studio, but I think that is not practical. So,
could you do it from the your Surface or your laptop or something?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to plug in an audio interface and we're going to see how we go recording the show live.
That's exciting.
You'll be at one side of the country and I'll be at the other.
You'll be at the other. If all else fails, let me know. I'll get a plane ticket and I'll fly to you and we'll record it in person.
That'd be fun as well. Hey, that's it for TechWrap this week. We're online, techwrap.net. We've got a Facebook page. We've got Twitter. We don't have Instagram. Maybe you can make an Instagram, Will.
Instagram.
That's it. Anyway, have a great one. Thanks for listening. You've been listening to TechWrap online at techwrap.net. Catch you around.
See you later.